At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
Gotta get this crappy Astros game off is what's about to happen.
Yeah, no kidding. Dusty, what are we going to watch?
I don't know. Something other than Astros baseball.
I want to watch The Herd with Colin Cowherd, FS1. What did he talk about today? Was that on The Fan?
That was on The Fan.
Nice.
I listened to a little bit when I was on my way to the gym, and it was tomorrow's headlines today.
Diana Rossini's on there right now.
Okay.
Remember her?
I do remember her.
Didn't she come through Portland? Wasn't she?
It's possible.
Was she
but I'll tell you what, I couldn't pick her out of a line. If you told me that was Diana Rossini, I wouldn't know.
Oh.
It just kind of
I know her.
Blends into the background.
I think she was in Portland.
It's possible.
And I want to say she was on Comcast Sportsnet.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. But I'm not that confident.
Trista Crick was.
Yeah.
I know that.
Mm-hmm. Rossini's from D.C. I don't know that she was ever over here.
Okay.
See, this is unfortunately what happens is a lot of the, they just, I don't know, the kind of with sideline reporter, national figures where you're not really sure what they do. They're just there and they're on a lot of different platforms.
I think she's an insider.
They just kind of blend together. What's she an insider for?
The NFL.
Okay, so she.
NFL.
Again, no one's certain. That's the most uncertain.
Yeah, no, she's NFL. But
NFL?
No, she's definitely NFL. I was just reading her. Wikipedia?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to say wiki.
Well, WikiLeaks, Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two different things.
Yes.
Yeah, so this says she moved to sports after moving to Seattle as a reporter and anchor for CSN Northwest.
Oh, well, there you go. You were right.
I was right. Thank you.
Suck it, Will.
Yeah, Will. Idiot.
How dare I know her backstory not as well as you.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, again,
I've got a long way to go in this business.
Yeah, that's that youth cocky right there.
You got to know where the NFL reporter started. If you don't know that.
What do you know?
What do you know?
Again, it all just blends together for me.
We had a lot of, you know, Portland has had a, okay, so here's the thing in our business.
Okay.
Nobody from the East Coast wants to come out here.
No.
They think it's a joke.
Yes.
And whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can debate that over your drinks tonight. I don't know. But it's hard to get people from back east out west.
Agreed.
So if you listen up and down the West Coast, generally speaking, to sports stations out here.
Sports.
Many of the people are local or West Coast people.
Yes.
It's like two different countries.
Well, and a lot of times the East Coast bros started out west. you know, and then they migrate. They'll pull our talent from out here in the West. It's just West is willing to go East. East not willing to go West.
Yeah, Dusty's even saying that Diana Rossini did mid breaks mm-hmm. on our show.
Really?
Yeah.
How do I not remember that at all?
Because I don't think it lasted very long. I think she cruised on her way. She was well on her way to ESPN.
she was rocket fired.
This was beneath her.
Well, I think Jill Savage is now on Fox News and stuff. She's like the Will Kane.
We had a lot of
females.
We had stars on our show.
Yes.
Not you, not me.
No,
but
we are still here.
For the sports, like the sports breaks we had when we were on CSN, we had Diana Rossini was one. Mm-hmm. We had... What's her name?
Oh, well, I know normally what you say, but you can't say that, so you have to go with old what's her name. By the way, you're doing great.
Who was the one that was married to the Timbers goalie?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that Megan Angelo?
Nope. She's just married to a rich guy now. I know who you're talking
about.
She
was my favorite.
There was a...
It's on one of the old YouTube clips.
Yeah, there's a gal that was married to a very handsome
goalie.
Whose name again?
Her name... was Laura? I'm serious. It was Laura.
You're on your own here, man. Dickie Thawne.
No, don't be. That's ridiculous.
Carney Lansford. Greg Jeffries.
She hosted that outdoor show.
Huh? She did.
Yeah, Laura.
Couldn't tell you who it is.
Do you have it?
I don't. I'm gonna find it. Can I say what game you played with her?
What?
Oh, yeah. Did you give her the hot chick quiz?
You gave her the hot chick quiz.
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
No, that's bad.
That never happened, by the way.
It was that and the wheel of grab ass.
Yeah, that never happened.
What was her name?
I think you still do the wheel of grab ass, but you can't do the hot chick quiz anymore. That's a time gone by.
It was a different time.
Different time!
Laura Christie?
I do think it was Laura Christie.
Laura Christie.
Yes.
She was hot.
Yes.
Probably still is. Loved her. She was cool as hell, too.
And someone's saying, didn't Jill Savage join up with Clay Travis? I do believe Jill does that. She's like on the blaze with...
She's on Outkick now.
Who's the wackadoo with the
Tommy
the,
Lauren?
The chalkboard. That's crazy son of a bitch. Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
She does stuff with Glenn Beck.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Oh, Jill's like deep into the...
deep state.
Oh, yeah. Deep state.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, dude.
She's
full,
very conservative.
Full.
Little Iowa girl.
Full send. Yeah.
Okay, so we had her, and then we had... Who's the blonde? Lindsay McCormick. She was great.
And she went on to do some stuff with the SEC Network down there.
Yeah.
And
I thought she might have been on NFL Network for a bit.
She might have. I mean, she was a...
Smoke show.
She was a smoke show.
Fun.
She was like Mark Sanchez, Kevin Love.
Yeah, she had
that dude from True Blood. Tell you what, she was popular. The big dude that ended up marrying
guy who married Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, that guy. She partied with him for a little bit. Like she was she is high end. That's tippy top. And then we had
Sugar.
Yeah, we had Sugar. We had McCord, AJ McCord, who was never here.
Oh, no. AJ wasn't on our show, was she?
She started on our show, and then I think she ended up doing a show with Dusty. I think AJ started doing the midday stuff. And then, she ended up with the Fan Man, even though she was never here.
Okay.
And now she's moved on to bigger and better things. Yeah. Dude, that Dave Kamens, he knew what he was doing.
What a springboard show we are. We springboard hots to fame.
And then we just sit here.
Just continue. Yeah, we're just a conduit.
And every now
hots.
And then you run into someone, they're like, and I always love the, are you still doing that? Yeah, still there.
Yeah.
How long has that been? 20 plus years. And you're like,
People are always amazed. They're like, there's Laura Christie right there. Laura Christie Cronin is her name. And
yes.
Author, realtor, jeweler, it says here.
Wow.
She's moved on to jewels.
Boy, I need to get more, I love when someone has that on their business card. I'm going to get more things. It's going to be soldier of fortune, consumer of cold beverages. I'm just going to start randomly throwing out titles because really it's all that I do.
Yeah.
And it's not that impressive.
You remember her?
I do remember her.
Yeah. She was a delightful
I love that
woman.
She's a jeweler now.
Yeah. I found a PDX Jules. Exposed and Rob, you've got a very sick soul patch going on here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that was back in the day.
Swag's got a very sweet shirt. It's very colorful.
Look, it was a long time ago.
We've been doing this 20 years.
Jamie Hudson. Another one.
Yes.
Jamie Hudson. I was just watching... I remember what channel, might have been KATU, watching the morning news with my wife. And I said, hey, there's Jamie Hudson. She's like, who? I'm like, that's from CSN. Yeah. She's like, oh. I said, Jamie Hudson is one of the nicest people, if not the nicest person yeah. in our business.
Did Olsen start here?
So sweet. I don't think Olsen
Jamie Hudson did, and I can't remember if Olsen Dam did or not. Again, there was a lot of that.
I thought Brooke came in from out of, like, she was from, like, Indiana. She came in from Indiana or something.
I don't know, man. Again.
See, we're all over this.
It's just, it's all, I know is you've been here a long time.
Yeah.
I've been here a long time. Swag's been here a long time. That's what I know.
Yeah.
At one point, the fan had three employees. And for a long time, the fan had three employees. You, me, Swag.
And now look.
We were just, those were the days. Big staff meeting, boys, a.k.a. let's all go into the boss's office.
Yeah. Well, there's a recount of our of our illustrious TV history.
Not certain how we ended up there, but
it's funny how none of the Hots were ever on a radio show. It was always on TV because they look so hot, you know?
Well, look,
they had to spice up our...
Yeah. There's a reason why the TV people are TV people.
Abby Chin, there's another one.
Yes, and she's out in Boston now. I do remember Abby.
Abby Chin. Here's another one I just remembered. The assistant coach for the Blazers, Prunty's wife.
Yeah, Joe, is it Prunty?
Joe, I thought it was Prunty. Is it Prunty? Maybe Prunty.
Yes, I know
his wife
about.
Did.
His wife did stuff.
Was on our show, too.
Yes.
And she was great.
Yeah. Look, there's a reason why Adam Bjornsson is
should
a
be
TV
in the Hall
star.
Why?
And
why?
Not me. Like, look at Adam Bjornsson. If you turn into your nightly news to hear your sports, do you want to look at Adam Bjornsson or do you want to look at me? All right, there's a reason why.
God, we're piecing this together. Rust is in.
I found a video that says Isaac and Sook buffoonery.
Mm. Rust is in. He says Brooke did Softie's show in Seattle.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Because he had the same thing.
He had the same thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought Olsen Dam did some stuff, but yeah, maybe that was up there. Yeah. But it was all done through here. Like, you know, at our studio.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she was doing it from our studio.
I think Brooke did it from our studio.
But it was for his show.
Yes. So I thought I remembered her coming in.
Bros, we got there.
Don't say Rob remembers all the Hots.
Oh, hell yeah. I do.
Someone said I remember being at a club downtown and McCormick was partying with Cuban and Kevin Love.
Yep.
That is true.
I was there that night.
Well, and I believe that she did date Kevin Love for a...
Yeah, she dated him. Cuban was in town for the playoffs.
Yes.
And we were with them earlier in that evening, I wasn't about to...
Yeah. McCormick had a great run. She had...
Yeah.
She dated Kevin Love, Mark Sanchez, Eric Ainge, and that Joe whatever, the handsome fella from... True Blood and Magic Mike. I forget what his name is, but he's the best looking human being on the planet. And I'm like, damn, McCormick.
It was funny to watch Cubes try to get in that.
Yeah, well,
he didn't succeed.
No,
Cubes is a nice guy.
He got $1 billion, but McCormick came for money too. So
she didn't care. She wasn't having that.
No, I think her grandfather started STP Oil or something.
Yeah,
she came from big oil money, and it was always adorable because she didn't really realize how rich her family was. And then she would give it away with, I remember once.
Well, the private jet wasn't working today.
Well, I remember she was talking about, where she would go over the weekend. And she would go to, Miami, and we're like, what? Because we thought she just was a, shocking development. The job didn't pay a whole lot. And so no one could figure out, she lived in the Pearl. And she would fly to Miami on the weekends, and then she pulled in a 7 Series BMW. And I was like, what do you do? She's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, dude, your car's $100,000. She's like, what? I'm like, you don't driving a $100,000 car. And she's like, I don't know. And that's when we found out it was,
Daddy.
That stuff just was.
Yeah, Houston, right? She was from Houston.
She was from Houston. That stuff just kind of got.
Made all money.
I didn't think it was kind of adorable, though, that she had no idea that her car was really nice.
She was very sweet.
Which also leads you to believe, if she didn't realize that the 7 Series Beamer was really nice, what kind of cars was she used to riding around in? If that was not, in her opinion, a very, very nice car.
She was very sweet, but she was...
Naive to the world.
Yeah, very naive.
Well, again, I just...
Cute as a button, though.
Yeah. Auburn grad, War Eagle.
There's one other one. Now, we didn't work with her, but she was sidelines for the Zers, your Zers.
Yeah.
And then she moved on, I think, to ESPN or TNT. Do you remember her? Not too long ago. And I don't remember her name.
Moved on.
Anyway, my point was, nobody from back east wants to come out here.
No. That's how this all started.
It's kind of a wasteland of a media market for some people, even though, you know, Portland's great. It's just, you know, look, it's fallen on hard times in the last 5 years.
It was viewed
differently before, and now it's like,
we used to be viewed as a nice little pocket up here, and now it's more of a escape from L.A. sort of hellhole thing.
Yeah.
Although I'm telling you.
So people.
It's getting better.
When people like the Haunts.
Yeah.
On their way up the ladder,
they just
don't stay long. Okay, they won't stay long.
We're a rest area, and you know what? You need rest areas.
That's right.
You know, you stop off, you go to the bathroom, and then you know.
Rebecca Harlow,
yes,
right there, TNT. Yes, am I wrong?
No, I think you're right.
God,
I think that is correct. Why didn't Susie Colbert ever come through here?
Don't mess with me when it comes to ladies.
I love me some Sue's.
I found a sweet interview of you guys talking to fangirl Tyler.
Tyler.
Sook, you have a rolled up t-shirt to show off your arms.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, there's lots of old vids of us out there. Yeah. We're old now. I mean, we've been at this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Since before Will was born, really.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
Yeah. 90...
Pretty close.
Close.
Yeah, 2001.
When Will was a
toddler. 97.
Yeah, 97. You were 4. Can you believe that? Will just toddling around is, you know.
I remember Rop and the Mop.
Yeah, that was probably 3 and 4.
I remember listening to it, like getting ready to go to the CCYF football games.
Gavin Dawson.
Yeah, Gavin's now a big deal down in Dallas.
Yeah.
He's gone on to great things.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, we sent away Travis Demers back to D.C. and he came back and is now voice of the Blazers. And
it's not just the Hots.
No.
It's the Uglies.
Yeah. We have spent, we have been a nice.
I'm just kidding.
We have been a nice launching pad for lots of people.
For everyone but ourselves.
Yeah, we stay here. Great? No, we don't go anywhere. Not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you know what? You can do a lot worse than staying in your lane. 10-2 and right down the middle of the highway.
Well, I tell you, Rebecca Harlow looks a lot different now. I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah?
Very different.
Good, bad, no?
Well, I mean, you know, she looks different. Great. Okay. She just looks different. I wouldn't recognize. She'd be one of those where you're like, wait, who is that? I recognize. Who is that?
Oh,
you can't put your finger on it?
Don't. She's definitely.
That's Rebecca Harlow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% different. In fact, I got a great photo of her with the Iron Furnace here. Oh, yeah, she looks completely different.
Our friend, former fan, legend, Iron Furnace.
Iron Furnace.
Man, what a history. All right. Shall we start our show?
Yeah, why not?
You guys want to start?
What else are we doing?
Start talking sports.
Sports.
Beautiful day out there.
Yeah.
I think
so. It's nice. It's not going to be quite as warm as we thought this weekend, but we're getting nice weather. I don't think we're not in the 70s from what I've seen. I think we're in the 60s, but sunny.
I've got a couple of little football things that we need to talk about headline writers.
Yeah.
I'm having a few problems.
I am too. And because I got a bone to pick. I got caught with one today and it pissed me off.
Was it the tight end thing?
No, it wasn't the tight end one. This wasn't involving football, but I got caught with a headline over the, like, seemingly a roster being gutted and it's
not at all.
It's not at all. They had people graduate. Like, that's not having your roster gutted. You can't lose 4 people to graduation. It's like Sweet 16 team roster is gutted. And I was like, oh, crap. So I clicked on it to see what it was. 4 of them graduated and 1 of them entered the transfer portal. That's not being gutted. That's
what
called
team?
College. I don't even remember.
You don't even know what team?
I was so pissed off at it that I was just.
Yeah, they wasted 25 of your seconds.
Yeah. Oh, it enraged me.
Yeah, these. Yeah, let's talk about it, okay? We're going to start there. We're going to bitch.
Let's discuss.
We're going to bitch like old men coming up next on The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over, we think.
All right, nice to have you along. It's Tuesday. I mean, it's not Tuesday, it's Thursday. It's 2 days after Tuesday. The sun is a shining. People here feeling good. At least I think. We think.
We think!
You know?
I do know.
Will is here. Buck is still out at Bandon Dunes.
Damn.
By the way, I buried the lead today.
Oh, what's the lead?
I have news.
Talk to me, Goose.
And it is that Ryan Buckley has once again correctly predicted the first round leader of the PGA tournament this week.
Has he really?
He did it again.
Did he bet on it, or did he just predict it?
Yes.
Now,
he's unbelievable at that.
And yet we didn't share it with he didn't bring it to the
Well, he's out on vacation. He just texted me last night his list, because he always does. And Keith Mitchell is leading in San Antonio at the Valero Open. He had Keith Mitchell.
Well, I'll be damned.
That's like the fourth time he's hit one of those this year.
And yet he only bets like a dollar or two.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
Well, this one he bet $2 to win 110.
Really?
Yes.
Just think what would happen if he's willing to bet more than $2.
Well, he's hit a 55-1. That's a 55-1. He's hit a 60-1.
Damn.
I think he had one that was 40-1.
Do we just start piggybacking off of the Ryan Buckley first round leaders?
Well, we've missed the boat.
I know.
He'll probably go 0 for this next 15. But
freaking Buckley.
He's building his account.
Is this how he's going on all these vacations?
I think it is.
First round PGA leaders.
I said, dude, why do you need a day job? This is unbelievable. Like, how do you pick the first round? That is so random.
That is so random. Well, I don't know if he does it. I think he just does a lot of research and then comes to a consensus.
He gets very sensitive about it. But I do try to knock him down a peg by saying, listen, you know, was this your pick or are you tailing someone else?
Yeah.
Because those are two different things.
Those are.
If you actually research this and you were like, wow, I think Keith Mitchell's a really good play at 55-1. I'll give you all the credit in the world. But if you're just watching some bet show on ESPN and they say that, and like, yeah, I'll bet that, you're a loser. You're a degenerate.
But he's obviously, if that is what he's doing and he's riding someone else's coattails, it's a nice job. I mean, there's a lot of coattails out there, and picking the right one to ride, I mean, that's
four times.
That's a skill unto itself.
I guess. Well, I don't give him near as much credit as
go
you do.
Ryan Buckley. I mean, that is kind of impressive. Where are they playing? Where is this?
They're down in San Antonio.
Valero?
The Valero. Next week is the Masters.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Jace?
I did know that.
The Masters.
I'm not aware of the Valero because I don't care, but I will pay attention to the Masters, and I will gamble on it.
All right, so we got to bitch like old men for a second, okay?
All right, what are we doing?
Well, we're talking about headline writers. You already forgot, but we were talking
I have such a problem
with them.
Yes.
Because they're just trying to get you to click in to a story, and it's usually fake news. Like, it's not even remotely accurate to what the story is.
We used to have Quick on, and even Quick used to get pissed at the headline writers because they would do a poor job of conveying what the story was about, or he would take blowback on a story he wrote because of the headline. So that's just remember, it's not the guy writing the story. And so that was, I said, I got fooled today. And it does happen where, like, the one today was Sweet 16 team gutted. And I was like, oh, okay, who's the latest? Because you hear these stories all the time now about how a team loses their top eight players. But when you click on the story and find out that one person entered the transfer portal and four of them graduated, then that's not being gutted. But again, the headline, it made me click on it. So, I guess, good job, you son of a bitch. But it does suck. And now, unfortunately, especially in a lot of political stuff, the headlines are the only things that people read. And so you can have the most misleading headline known to man, and it just confirms what someone already has a preconceived notion of, and it's not even remotely true.
Yeah, I don't know that this is true. This is my philosophy on it, is that they've just cut. It's usually big companies, you know?
Probably AI writing them now.
Yeah, or just like somebody who is just really green and doesn't really know what they're doing.
I wonder if there's honestly an algorithm now that you can look at and say people are more likely to click on this. It wouldn't shock me one bit if the first thing in journalism that goes AI is headlines. Because I mean, obviously, the idea of the more shocking the headline, the more people are going to click on it, the more divisive. It's why I've learned that any headline that reads something along the lines of coach or player gets killed, you know, or, you know, people outraged over, just don't click on the story because it's absolutely a load of crap. But those are the ones, and like I said, either you've learned to do that from a person or a computer is generating it for you.
There's an algorithm, without pulling back the curtain too much, when I was doing some writing, there was an algorithm that they would do, because I always would write the headline that I thought they would put out, And after a little bit, they're like, yeah, your headlines suck.
Yeah.
We're going to use these headlines. And I can't remember if it was AI or if there was a person that had a formula that did it. But you admit, you could make the argument that it is working because it got you to click on it, whether it's a lie or not, and they just want the views.
It is working, but I think people would like it to be accurate.
Fair.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't disagree.
You can make it work, but also have it be factual. Like, the one that caught me was, Dan Lanning delivers strong message.
See, and that's what I'm saying. Anything that is in that realm, strong message or killed or outrage, there is nothing in that article that is worthwhile.
Do you know what he said?
What was his strong message?
Dan Lanning delivers strong message.
To who?
To Oregon's quarterback recruits.
Oh.
Do you know what he said?
My guess is come here and you'll be good.
If you're a great quarterback and you come to the University of Oregon, you got a chance to have a lot of success.
Ah.
A chance to go perform in pro days, get drafted high, go have an opportunity to play in the NFL.
Boy, that is a strong message.
That was his strong message.
I feel it.
I read that and got viscerally mad that they've wasted 15 prime seconds of my life.
Yes.
Making me read that and go, and now dismissing it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, why is that a strong... Doesn't every coach say that?
Dude, I'm telling you.
That's not strong.
If you just kind of read through it, you can figure out. The other one is, shocks the sports world, stunned. There's just certain buzzwords that they use to get you to click. And when you read one of those, you don't need to click on the
story. Can I give you another one that is factually accurate?
What do you got?
But also drives me crazy because it's like every really good player that mm-hmm. signs a new contract in the NFL.
Yeah.
Is going to be the highest paid player at his position.
Yes.
And that's what they always lead with. It's always like, we have a new highest paid tight end. Well, yeah,
he
just signed.
That is true.
It's like, it's factual, yes. But it's also, okay, can we stop with that one? Oh my God, such highest paid, whoa. No, whatever Brock Bowers signs for, guess what? He's going to be the highest paid tight end in the NFL.
Resets the market. Well, and again, I just, unfortunately, we live in a world now where headlines carry the day, and the headlines are more dishonest and misleading than ever, and that's all anyone pays attention to. At least in sports, whatever it's sports. The sad part is how many people take their political or, like, real-life news based on headlines. Especially if it's in your echo chamber, whether that's your far left, far right. All you need to do is read the headline and you're like, oh, I knew it. The Democrats are at it again. Or
the Democrats.
Oh, those sons of bitches,
I hate
the
those
Nazis.
Democrats. You know, I was watching Fox News the other night and they were telling me about J.D. Vance spreading some freedom seeds all over the place. I was like, man, hell yeah. That's all I needed.
Made you feel empowered.
Pull out my flag.
You're like, yeah. Did you pull out your freedom seeds, did you?
Pulled out my freedom seeds, spread them all over.
Boy, there's nothing more uncomfortable than the idea of someone spreading their freedom seeds around.
Bullets.
Guys. Bullets.
Bullets. Bullets.
My buddy sent me a good photo. He lives out in the country, and so he takes his dog out in the morning. His dog is getting a little long in the tooth, and the coyotes are sniffing around the old man. So when he took his dog out for a walk this morning, His wife took a photo of him, and it's just he has no idea what's happening, but he's wearing flip-flops, he's carrying a thermos of coffee, and he's got an AR-15 he's just wandering around. And I was like, ah, yes, North County, yes, freedom seeds, ready to go.
Do you want to know what's in that AR? Freedom seeds.
Freedom seeds. Freedom from those damn coyotes. It's just, it's an unbelievable candid photo. I'm like, dude, that's going to be your new, when you call me now, that's your new profile pic.
I have breaking news.
Is it about freedom?
I may have spoke too soon about Buckley's first round leader win.
Not so fast.
He was getting cocky with me earlier today. I wasn't watching the tournament, didn't see it. Don't really care about the Texas
swing. Are you about to fake news me right now?
Well, I jumped the gun.
Oh my God.
Apparently, Sam Ryder is about to make a 14-inch putt,
mm-hmm.
and if he makes it, which I'm guessing he will...
Be my guess.
He will be 9-under and be the first-round leader, not...
Dude.
Keith Mitchell.
Here, we just got done Buckley talking about sucks. Dishonest headlines, and here you are, the noted newsman of this program, spreading fake news.
Yeah, I spread fake news, unless he misses the putt.
It's a good point. So now we have to just sit and wait?
Yeah.
Although 14 inches, I'm guessing that's going to be a make. What are the chances? Like, what is the odds of a PGA Tour player missing 14 inches?
I'm guessing, well, what are the odds? I mean, I'm sure somebody's missed one somewhere.
Yeah.
But I would say that if you're less than 500 putts, zero. I mean, if you took the sample size to be 1,000, maybe there's one.
All right, so let's
or two.
I'm gonna say I'll bet you there's a stat somewhere on 1 foot putts. I'm gonna get okay. Do 12 inches.
1 footers.
1 footers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would depend on how many 1 footers they're talking about.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, let's see what I can find.
It's gonna be point something.
I'm interested.
Maybe 1%.
I'm interested.
All right, finally, see, we got golf talk in there. That's how I do it. I get Sook interested in missed putts. And now he's looking at stats.
You well, had him you've at 14 distracted inches.
Me. I had him at 14.
You've distracted inches. Me from your fake news.
All right. Coming up next. So we hate headline writers, and they should all be better than they are. Yeah. How about that?
I like it.
Okay. Good. Move over, Bill Belichick. We have a new all-time Super Bowl king. Here is Will.
I looked it up. The PGA only does things from, like, their stats are 1 to 3 feet. And then four feet, 5 feet, up to 10.
I have numbers if you want.
Oh, yeah.
They are saying, so less than 3 feet, they don't really have that.
It's 99%+.
Well, less than 3 feet, I mean, if you go 1 foot, they're saying it's 99.99.
Yes.
3 feet is the furthest out they go that measures, or the closest in they go that they measure, and they're at 99.4%.
Yes,
on 3 footers. So anything inside of that, I mean, it's auto. Close. And I have this to report to you: Sam Ryder did make the 14-incher.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so Ryan Buckley, Buckley is a moron.
Yes, he can't pick a first round leader to save his life. So Sam Ryder. He birdied 6 of his last 7 holes to snake $110 out of Ryan Buckley's
gambling account. You know Buckley is well aware of what
pissed.
Went down.
I just texted him. He's ghosting me right now.
By the way, 9 feet, the first distance where they hit less than 50% of the putts.
Yeah, the guy, so it's pretty crazy. If you look at the PGA Tour putting stat inside 10 feet, the guy that is number one on tour, and he's a guy you've never heard of, do you care to guess on the season what percentage he's made inside 10 feet?
Well, I looked at it. Again, they said inside 10 feet, PGA Tour players hit 88% of putts inside 10 feet.
Yeah, that's the average.
That's the average, which is insane.
Isn't that crazy? Like, the lowest is 84.
Exactly. Like,
inside 10 feet.
So I'm going to say inside, he's the
but
leader.
But a lot of those are really short putts. Let's remember.
I know, but inside 10, I mean, that's... It's silly. I'm going to say he's hitting 96% of his putts.
He's at 91.95%.
Okay.
He has hit 274 out of 298 inside 10 feet, which to me is just amazing.
Yeah.
His name's Quade Cummins, which is a little uncomfortable.
It is a little uncomfortable.
Never heard of him.
Old Quade Cummins.
Doesn't sound like he's any good,
but he can
putt inside 10 feet.
Yes, indeed.
He's getting it cleaned up for you.
And then watch it like outside of outside of 11 feet and he hits
He's
nothing.
Just terrible. Yeah. And that would be why he's Quade Cummins.
It's like those dudes that can only shoot three-pointers or only shoot free throws. There's a shooting coach that's online, and he works with several NBA players. And I think he played at, like, Providence or something. But, like, he doesn't miss. He'll hit, like, 100 three-pointers in a row. Like, it's
the coach?
Yeah. He's a younger guy. Like, he played recently, and I forget what his name is, but I see his stuff, like, online. It's insane. Like, he does not miss.
How does he do that?
Well, he's an unbelievable shooter, but he can't make it in the NBA. And so either one of two things, either A, the rest of his game is absolute dog mess, or if you put someone on him, because he's not a big guy.
There's no one guarding him.
There's no one guarding him.
Still 100, though?
It is, I'm telling you, I will send you his clips. They are, like, you would sit there and be like, that's the greatest shooter on earth. And yet he can't, and he never sniffed the NBA. So, but like that one skill he had was just the silliest thing you've ever seen.
The thing that I think is amazing about people like that is obviously his body, the muscle memory of his body,
yes,
is otherworldly.
Yeah.
Because as we all know, when you try to hit a golf shot the same every time, you don't.
Yeah.
That's what those PGA Tour guys are so good at. It's like pressure and all. Mm. They can put the same swing on a golf shot.
Every time.
Every time.
Yep.
Well, you know, within reason. Yeah. But that guy, 100 times in a row, think about the muscle memory. Like, to not once be off with your form, because that would be the only thing that would make him miss a shot, right?
Yes.
So it's the same every time.
Every time.
That's incredible.
And it doesn't matter where it's from.
And I don't think you can teach that. Like, you can teach good form, and people can continue to practice over and over and over, but it's like Steph Curry. Like, you don't have what Steph Curry has, right? Steph Curry just has the muscle memory to do it close to the same every time, which is why he's so consistent.
Yeah, it's a God-given ability. It's, you know, when you ask someone that's a really high level, whatever it is, right? You ask them, it's why a lot of guys that are really elite athletes aren't great coaches, because they can't explain how they do it. They just do it. The one that always gets me is if you've ever watched NFL or a really elite college receiver, their spatial awareness, the ability to go up and high point a ball and then come down and get both feet in bounds, you can't explain, like, how did you know to put your foot right there? And they're like, I don't know, I just do it. There is just some sort of innate ability they have. Like you said, it just, you can't teach it. It's either there or it's not there, which is why, you know, those guys are, Steph Curry's the greatest shooter of all time. He works on his craft, but that's the old nature versus nurture thing. You could shoot a million threes and you're not going to be Steph Curry.
I just wonder if that guy, your coach there, could, if he plays golf, like if he did the same thing with the golf swing.
Or is it just that one skill
that he
has? It's
just the one. Maybe he's got bionic elbows or something.
I don't know.
Can always keep that elbow tucked.
Yeah. Like an NBA reporter came out, and that's where I first saw it. An NBA reporter came out because, like, I guess people call BS. It's so ridiculous that people think that it's fake. And so he brought out, like, an NBA reporter, a sideline reporter. I forget who it was. Might have been, like, I don't know. God, I wish I could remember who it was. I think it was Rachel Nichols, actually, came out, and she was like, I want to see you do this in person. And he's like, all right. And he did in front of her, and she's like, all right.
He's like, Chad.
She's
okay.
Like, yeah, all right.
Okay.
And then she was like, all right, I believe. Yeah, because it's so ridiculous. People think it has to be fake. Remember those like Gatorade commercials where, like, Michael Vick would throw the ball 100 yards or whatever? You know, they had those, and they were fake. They were generated, but they looked real. So now everything you see, you're always skeptical.
Fake news.
Yeah. You're like, is it?
Fake news.
Turns out it wasn't fake news.
All right. The next tease is about Bill Belichick no longer being the Super Bowl king.
Really?
Yeah. Did you know this?
No.
He has now not won the most Super Bowls.
Huh.
Can you believe that?
How is that?
How is that? Great question,
Sukanik. He's got eight, right?
He's got seven.
Well, no, won. Brady has seven. Belichick won six in New England, two with the Giants as the defensive coordinator. So he has eight.
Oh, I think this is as head coach.
Oh,
head
coach. Sorry.
Yeah, come on.
He has eight Super Bowl rings. When he goes to recruit, he can break out eight rings and be like, yeah.
You better not lose three fingers.
What?
We got to do some math. He loses three fingers. He's got one he can't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
10 minus 3 is 7. He's got 8 rings.
That's true.
He loses 3 fingers. What's he going to do with the 8th ring?
I got an idea.
Jordan, where is it?
Who's Jordan?
That'd be the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a story about her too. Actually, two stories about her.
We're just the cup runneth over with Bill Belichick facts.
You know, she's running North Carolina.
Yeah, like,
did you know this?
She has to be included on all email.
He said, copy her on all of we'll get to that coming up on The Fan.
Bill.
Yeah, so Bill Belichick is no longer the Super Bowl king, and neither is Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady still is, but he's now tied.
Oh.
Yeah.
So who has Who has seven? Because technically Bill is the king if we're going total Super Bowl rings, because he has eight. And as far as I know, no one has more than eight. But as a head coach or a starter, that would be different.
So Belichick, George Halas, and Curly Lambeau had the most championships in NFL history at six, because we're just talking about head coaches.
Yeah, but those aren't Super Bowls. Those would just be championships.
Championships, correct. Yeah. Because the championships do count.
Yeah.
Pre-NFL.
Sure.
Okay. So what happened was, at the most recent meetings that the owners had, they voted to incorporate the old AAFC records to the official NFL record books.
Oh.
And so that was the All-American Football Conference,
uh-huh.
And it was only from 1946 to 1949, and it was a direct competitor to the NFL. But the Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Colts, and the San Francisco 49ers were in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns won all four championships. And so their quarterback, Otto Graham, has now tied, because they've now implemented these records into the book, Otto Graham has now tied Tom's braids for most championships by any player in NFL history.
I can't say I knew that. Otto Graham, 00 fan of the old jump pass.
And then the coach, Paul Brown, has now surpassed Bill Belichick for most championships won in NFL history with seven.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah, I'll be damned.
I had no idea. Now,
because Brown had three officially, and now he's got four more.
Allow me to...
You're going to take a dump all over this, aren't you?
There is no dump over anything, but I say the same thing like with Bill Russell and those old Celtics teams and the Montreal Canadiens. Canadiens have 20-something Stanley Cups. How many... like, when the Celtics were winning, I believe there were like 12 teams in the NBA, and there was no free agency. So... look, I'm not saying winning championships was easy back then. You were the best of the best, but we have got to stop the idea that winning a title back then was the same as winning a title now. I honestly think one Super Bowl today is worth three. AAFC. How many teams?
That's a good question.
The AAFC?
Yeah.
I'm interested. I'm guessing there were six teams.
By the way, the 1948 Browns also went undefeated. So the 1970s.
So they were 6-0.
So the 19 they were 14-0. So the 1972 Dolphins have company now.
All right.
Technically.
All right. There's more teams than I thought.
Well, look at you.
There's more teams than I thought.
How many are in there?
I'm looking here. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Looks like 8, maybe.
Can you not count?
Well, because now I'm confused.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Now I'm confused because now there's another. This seems a little weird because that's the NFL, but now this is the AAFC. So they were putting together, but they're not. Those are two separate entities.
Yeah, two different leagues.
Well, then did they?
The NFL didn't like them,
and so they didn't play. It was just the AAFC.
Yeah, they played separately.
Okay, then there was 8 teams, which again I. Mm-hmm. You had the New York Yankees.
So you are going to poop all over it.
The Brooklyn Dodgers.
Really?
Yes.
The old Brooklyn Dodgers?
At Ebbets Field, by the way.
Really?
I think they played both. The Buffalo Bison, the Miami Seahawks.
Cool.
San Francisco 49ers, the Los Angeles Dons, the Chicago Rockets, and the Cleveland Browns. So again, no offense to Paul Brown and the Cleveland Browns, but winning titles... against the vicious competition of the Miami Seahawks and the Brooklyn Dodgers, I don't count that the same as Bill Belichick running through the 90s and the 2000s.
You know who does count it the same? The NFL.
Yeah.
Well. Bitch. So, in your face, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
So, Tom Brady has 7 as a player. Do you know who is second?
Are you counting AAFC?
No. Why not? I'm counting real championships.
I would like to state for the record,
Super
those
Bowls.
Were real championships.
Super Bowls.
Who has the most? What are we asking?
There's only one other player that has 5. There's no one that has 6. Brady has 7, and the next guy has 5.
It's Haley.
Yeah, Charles Haley.
Yeah.
Charles Haley has 5. And then Bill's at 6, and then there is one with 4. And that's pretty easy. They were...
4?
Yeah, 4. Reed's got 3, Gibbs has 3, Bill Walsh has 3, I mean, Bill's lapped everyone except for this dude. Easy. I mean,
Chuck Knoll?
Yeah, Chuck Knoll. Yeah. And he's got four, obviously, from 74 through 79. So I'll give you that. Like in the NFL.
Paul Brown runs circles around those guys.
And the jump pass. I'm sorry, but if Paul you Brown played before Graham. Face masks hey. And you only had to play eight teams.
Bro, they dominated. Four in a row. The league only existed for 4 years. They won all four championships.
Someone said, were Brown people allowed to play on the Browns back then? My oh, guess dear. Is probably
no,
not.
No, not in the 40s. No. What are you, an idiot?
Didn't happen. I mean, Alabama didn't integrate until the 70s.
He got smacked by USC, too.
Yes, and that's what led to Alabama breaking the color barrier. I don't think it was O.J. Simpson. I think it was a different. It might have been like Charles White, but the USC team got on a train and went down to Alabama and beat the bejesus out of them. And then the next year, they were like, eh, maybe. And as someone pointed out, we walked on the moon before Alabama put a black player on their football team. So, you know, this is...
I wish Otto Graham was still kicking so he could go on First Take and say that Tom Brady couldn't survive in his era.
Yeah, that's the Steph Curry thing. For sure. Who was doing that? Who said Steph Curry was average like 17?
Probably all of them.
Yeah, there was some dip-ass that was making the rounds claiming that Steph Curry wouldn't average 17 points in the 80s or whatever.
Really?
Stephen A. wasn't. I don't think Stephen A. copped to it, but he was saying he talked to a former Hall of Famer. Or former
oh, maybe that's
player.
What it was. I just.
Oh yeah, the old players. I mean,
yeah,
they're ridiculous.
Yeah,
some of them, not all of them.
Well, just the game is better. Players are better. They're more athletic.
Well, that's
you
yeah.
know, there's better training modalities. But if you gave those old guys, if you gave a modern,
see,
you know,
this is
training
my thing.
And all that.
This is why we need to be careful about poo-pooing old championships.
Yeah.
Of course, they're not the same because it was a different time.
Yeah.
All you can do is win. Against the competition of the time.
Yeah.
In you know, and with the rules of the time and with the, you know, just the nature of man at
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. So I don't think it's any less to, now this is different, the AAFC, because it was a separate league.
Sure.
Right? So I don't know what the quality of that league was
with
versus the NFL. Yeah. Although I have heard of Otto Graham and Paul Brown, and I know they're thought of quite...
Absolutely.
Highly.
Innovators, innovative.
Yeah. Right.
They were innovative figures of the game that we stand on their shoulders.
So it's not like at that time, it's not akin to like the NFL being like right now is so established. And then the UFL comes along
sure.
and then they win four championships. Yeah. It's like, who would that even?
No, but all I'm saying is it bothers me when someone's like, you know, Bill Russell's the greatest player of all time because he won, you know, whatever it is, 16 championships. That's not an argument. It's not. You can say Bill Russell's the greatest winner of all time. You can say Bill Russell's one of the greatest players, whatever. Or if you want to bring up, you know, anything other than championships. But when Bill Russell played, there were eight teams in the NBA. Eight. I'm sorry, but when you, if you put.
Doesn't that mean the teams are better? Because now you got, what do you got, 30?
You can't.
You got rosters with dudes who have no business playing in the NBA.
You can't say that winning a championship when you had to go through seven other teams.
If you only had eight teams right now, it would be the best league ever. Seriously, you weed out all the crappy players. Every team has a starting five of all-stars. It would be awesome.
It's
even better that Bill Russell won that many championships in an eight team.
And I love Babe Ruth. But to say that Babe Ruth is the best player of all time, it rings hollow to me because he didn't have to play against black guys or Latino guys. It's or any international player. I struggle with that. I don't know why we can't have nuanced conversation and say that for his time, that was the best player. For his time, that was the best team. But the old heads that refuse to acknowledge that the game evolves and the game continues to progress and get better, you just end up sounding like Deacon Jones. You know, he's like, ah, a bunch of candy asses today. Back when we played, I played on a broken leg and I taped newspaper to my forearm and I would give someone a shiver with it. And you're like, that's cool, but Aaron Donald's better than you. He is.
That is kind of true, though.
I'm
they would
sorry.
They would tape like,
yes.
He'd tape a 2x4 to yes. his arm and just go out there and start pummeling guys.
Dick Night Train Lane out there, clothesline and people. That's when men were men and football was football. Cool, Dick. but you're not the best corner of all time. You ran like a 4.9. Yeah, it's not the same. So you might have a hard time covering Tyreek Hill today.
Is a 23-year-old hot running a major college football program? The answer is yes. Next on The Fan.